By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear seven brothers and viewers of Madani channel Let's begin this morning by reciting the Durood الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear Sahib brothers and viewers of Madani channel today, honestly, I'm excited to be inviting you again back to rise and shine. Each and every single day we present to you a new topic. Now today we have an exciting topic, my dear Sahib brothers. But before I do inform you what that topic is, alhamdulillah, you know, it is a new day, you know, rise and shine. Literally, my dear Sahib brothers, rise. Let's try to shine. How? By removing negative thoughts from our minds, by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything He has provided us with each and every single day, and ultimately by beginning our day with the listening or to listen, subhanallah, to begin our day by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان صدق الله العظيم
ما شاء الله صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم My dear Sahib brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you already know the name of the program is Rise and Shine. Each and every single day we bring a new topic along with new segments. Yes, my dear Sahib brothers, we have a reminder every day, a hadith of the day, and also a final news segment. Today, inshallah, we shall have the look, or a look at society. And for this, no, we won't be turning to Africa this time, not to America, but rather towards the East. And this is none other than Jaziratul Arab. Yes, Jaziratul Arab. What do I mean by Jaziratul Arab? The city, or well, firstly the Hijaz, Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara, and today especially the city about which Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam prayed. Allahumma habib ilayna al-Madina, kahubbina Makkata, aw ashadda. That Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, grant us love for Madinatul Munawwara. Allahumma habib ilayna al-Madina. How, Ya Allah, kahubbina Makkata, just the way you made Makkatul Mukarramah beloved to us. Oh, ashadda, Ya Allah, not just the way you made Makkatul Mukarramah beloved to us, but even more than that, Ya Allah. This was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, inshaAllah, our guest for our third segment shall be speaking to us from Madinatul Munawwara. MashaAllah, Madinatul brothers, as you are already where you have already seen, that mashallah, we've again got our respected and honorable, revered Islamic brother, mashallah, Khalid. But he's changed from white to brown, no doubt about it. But he still has, honestly, I don't know why, Khalid, but every time I see you, mashallah, and mashallah, you always do have a green imam, brilliant, no doubt about it.
So I do wear, it's not as if I don't wear the other ones. I have other colors at home, alhamdulillah, but I just feel more comfortable. I feel a bit uncomfortable today in the brown, to be honest. I'm like, not comfortable today. I feel more comfortable in the white Madani suit. And
subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Let's turn to a na'at of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Salli ala Nabiyyina, salli ala Muhammadin, salli ala Shafiyyina, salli ala Muhammadin. Ya Rab Zue Madina Mastana Banke Jao, Ya Rab Zue Madina Mastana Banke Jao, Us Shamae Do Jaga Ka Parwana Banke Jao, Ya Rab Zue Madina Mastana Banke Jao, Us Shamae Do Jaga Ka parwana banke jao, ya Rab Zue Madina, unke siwa kisi ki dil mein na arzu, 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 duniya ki har talab se begana banke jao, duniya ki har talab se begana banke jao, us shamae do jaga ka parwana banke jao, ya Rab Zue Madina mastana banke jao, us shamae do jaga ka parwana banke jao, ya Rab Zue Madina pahuncho Madine kaash be is be khudi ke saath, rota phiru gali gali deewanagi ke saath, jo hi
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. But this time, my brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine. Yes, today we do have an immaculate topic, no doubt about it. You know, an event which is extremely important in each and every one of our lives. And one which I'm sure that everybody would consider it to be a brilliant event. Khalid bhai, I'm not sure what you have to say about this. But yes, that is our views of this channel. Today, inshallah, we shall be speaking about weddings. It is the season where many individuals during this time get married. You know, no doubt it is an important, it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what we must understand. But the question is, when we have our marriages, are they congruent to the etiquettes and the sunan, the traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam? For more of this, my dear brothers, mashallah, today we have Khalid bhai. Khalid bhai, barakallah for joining us today. Now, Khalid bhai, the topic is weddings. To be honest, you could begin. I know there's a lot to say, but...
You know, when you gave us this topic, I started to think of where do we start on this one, because again, it's one of those topics that you could generate a whole silsilas to. And there's like, you know, before the event, how do you choose a spouse Islamically? What do you look for in a spouse? Then you've got the actual events on the day. Then you've got the events leading up to the day. Then you've got the responsibilities of the two people, you know, what their roles and responsibilities are. So there's so much to look at, but I think, you know, what you touched on is if we actually look at the day, the specific events that take place on the day, and see if they are, you know, in accordance with Quran and Sunnah, and I think we'll get some guidance from that. But before we start on the topic, I'd like you to show that picture so that we can try and ponder on that picture.
I was going to say that, but subhanAllah, you mentioned it first. Yes,
because I'm a little bit confused about this picture. I want to see this picture and think about this one.
SubhanAllah, if that picture could be displayed upon the screen, each and every single day, we do have a new image, a new picture for you to inform us, for you to take part in the program. You, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madin Channel, how will you take part? There is a number displayed upon the screen along with a WhatsApp icon. That number, if you could please send your voice messages. Now, subhanAllah, I was speaking to somebody about this image, Khalid bhai. In fact, more than one person. And it seems like this image has actually confused a lot of the viewers.
I have my personal interpretation of it, and we'll mention that later on, but I think I can see why it would confuse a lot of people. And I think you were saying that, you know, very few people so far have actually given you a response that just said, we don't know.
SubhanAllah, some people are saying, you know, you tell us the answer. So, Madhuri Samir Brother, there is a image displayed upon the screen. What is it? I don't know what you call it. Is that some type of axe? You know, like last week you gave us some
It's a wood axe, isn't it? It's a wood axe for chopping down a tree. But I think just to mention what you just said there, you know, when people say to you that you give us the answer, I think the beauty of these pictures that you're putting up, Shabazba, is that there is no right answer.
Yeah, there is no
right. There's everybody's interpretation of what they feel the answer is there.
One person said to me, look, basically nearly every day he's been answering it. And then he said, look, have my answers been correct?
They are for you.
I said, I leave that for you to decide.
They are for you. Alhamdulillah, they are for you.
MashaAllah, it's brilliant. So a man, you know, he's confused. He's just seen his own or the shadow of his own head is on the, well, it would be on the floor, wouldn't it? Whereas, it's being chopped off. You see, Khalid, in fact, I'll share this with you later. I won't spoil it for the viewers of Nishan. I did have a question in mind. Maybe, I don't know if it came across your mind or not. Right, coming back to our topic.
The topic.
Weddings, Khalid.
Okay. I'd just like to relate an event that took place, and I think this probably might sum up what we want to discuss today. I think about 18 months ago, I was invited to perform the nikah of somebody's wedding. And so I took a couple of brothers with me, and the plan was that when we would go there, one of the brothers would do talawat, one of the brothers would do naat, and I would give a little speech on the wedding ceremony, and then we'd perform the nikah. So we went there, and the brother said to me, it's on such and such road, but because it's a main road, we'll have to park on one of the back streets. I said, okay. So we parked on the back street, and I said to the brother, do you know what house number it is? He said, no, I don't. I said, okay, fair enough. But as soon as we came onto the main road, we knew which house it was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of the lights. You know, normally you see houses that are decorated with lights and decorations
in
it. Unfortunately, it was because on the main road, and it was a main road where buses were traveling, on this main road, there was the fireworks going off. There was the Scottish band with the, I don't even know what you call them, the bagpipes. There was, men were dancing on the road. Some of the sisters, unfortunately, were dancing on the road. All the women were out there as well. All the men were out there. And I just looked at the brother and I thought, you know, where have you brought us? Yeah. So we quickly, you know, went into the house, sat there, and we were sat in the room, in this room for probably about 20, 25 minutes, maybe more, whilst everything was going on outside. And then slowly, slowly, they started to filter coming in. And all this time I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I've got to say something. I've got to say something. I've got to say something. And, you know, I was kind of like sort of building up the courage to say something. Anyway, they came in. They sat down, the brother did the talawat, the brother did the naat, and I started talking about the, you know, the roles and responsibilities of the husband and the roles and responsibilities of the wife and the fact that they need to have patience and sabr because obviously there's a lot of changes that are going to happen in their lives. But then I said to him at the end, I said, look, you've called me here today out of respect. You've called me here to perform a religious ceremony. You've called me here because that's what you want to do and you know that that is right. But I said, look, I want to ask you some questions. I said, do you think the religious ceremony that's going to take place in here today, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will wipe away the sins that you've committed outside? What about what have happened outside? And I said, look, I'm sorry, I have to say this. You might not like it, and you might not let me perform the wedding. I actually thought they'd probably grip me and throw me out. I said, look, but I'm going to tell you. And I said to him, look, you know, do you think that performing this according to religion, according to the Sunnah, you know, having men and women intermingling out there, having your daughters mingling out there, dancing on the street out there, fireworks out there, music out there, all these things out there, do you think it'll wipe away, you know, by just performing this sunnah, it'll wipe away all them sins? I said, I've seen on the side streets that there's big sports cars there that you probably hired. You know, if you've hired them with a good intention, if you've hired them with an intention that you want to show you're happy, then all well and good. I said, but if you've been hired them with the intention that, you know, as they say in English, one up on the Joneses, that you want to try and impress people, you want to show off with people. Do you think that that showing off will wipe away, you know, by just performing this nikah ceremony? I said, and today I've got a flavor of what's going to happen later on to the day. I know I've got a flavor of what's going to happen at your, you know, at the barat. I've got a flavor of what's going to happen at your walima. And sorry to say, I'm not going to attend. But if you're going to carry on like this, do you think this nikah ceremony is going to wipe away them sins? And they all went quiet. And then when we actually performed the wedding ceremony, they did not know what hakmeh was. They didn't know what, and I had to explain it to them. And then I had to make them go back, the wakil to go back and ask the daughter to explain it to them. When they came back, I said, look, you know, we're all men here. Men are all here, all male here. We're performing the ceremony. I said, you've not called the bride here, right? Because you know it's not right. You know it's not right for the bride to be sat here amongst the men. But why did you think it was right for all your women and your daughters to be outside amongst the men outside, dressed up in all the makeup and the whatever. You thought it was right. So I think, you know, what happens is as Muslims, we just think, okay, the religious part of it is that little part. Call Imam Sahib does the nikah, Kabul, dua, walk away, now we're free. There's no more religion involved.
See, Khalifa, what's the reason they actually call an imam?
I think they feel that, you know, it's they feel they have to because that
exactly.
Is the thing. Yeah, they feel they have to. That's like, I don't want to say this, but I think I'm going to have to, that maybe they think it's part of the culture that we have to do this part of it and everything else we can do as well. And so they've not really realized that this is the important part. Or maybe they have. But even then, when they did not know what the hakmah was, they didn't know what we were doing, and you know, I had to explain every single thing to them, and it just made me think that sometimes Shabbat is by that, and maybe a lot of our viewers are here as watching that as well. That a lot of the people that are watching this program today are watching the program because they have, let's say, an Islamic mindset, yeah? And maybe Shabbat is by, it makes me think that sometimes maybe me, you, and a lot of our viewers are living in a bit of a bubble. And we don't realize what people are like outside that bubble. Right. That the amount of sins that people are committing because of ignorance. And because of this. And so, the question really is that we need to ask our viewers is, what you are doing at a wedding ceremony, everything, do you think it's in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah? Do you think it's something that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have done? Do you think it's something that should be done? And, you know, nowadays, a lot of the weddings have become a show. It's a showpiece that I my wedding was better than yours. You had two starters, I had three starters.
Yeah.
You know, you called one band, I called two bands. You did
but
this.
Khalifa, you see, you know, the problem we have here is that sometimes you find that even those people who pray their 5 days salah, mashallah, even those individuals, they take part.
I think as well, because there is a little bit.
When it comes
to
a wedding, it seems they forget.
Yeah, no, there is that, but there's also peer pressure. You know, we talk about peer pressure being peer pressure when it's just youngsters. But there is a peer pressure for our elders as well, where they feel that they have to go with the flow. Yeah. For someone to stop the flow is quite hard. Yeah. For someone to say no. Because then if you say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, oh, you're stingy. You know, you don't want to spend your money. You've been like this all your life. Da, da, da. And so it's like, so you think, you know what? Just chill, tika. Just, you know, okay. So for someone to stand up, and I remember someone saying to me, it was quite beautiful, really. He said that as a man, this 3 days, where everybody's looking at you in your life. One is when you're born, everybody's looking at you. One is the day that you get married, everybody's looking at you. And one is when you die, everybody's looking at you. But after them 3 days, there's only one day that you can have control of.
There's only one day that you can have control of.
You cannot have control of what happens when you're born.
Yeah.
If any ignorance happens there, any sins are committed. You cannot have control of when people pass away and they're wailing and they're crying and it's not performed according to the... But that day... When you're the center of attention, that is the one day in your life where you can stand up and say, no. It's my day. That's the day that I want to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's the one day in your life where you don't have to be led. You can be the leader. And the question is are we strong enough? Or do we just want to go with the flow? Or are we happy to go with the flow? And that's half the problem as well. We want these things. We want the band. We want the music. We want the dancing. We want the whatever it is. What do they call it? And we want all these things. And we don't realize that is this something that, you know, so you're starting off a part of your life, which is probably the most important part of your life. And you're starting off and the foundation of this journey is based in sin.
In sin. And nowadays, especially, you know, when we come to the topic of divorce, Khalid, the levels of divorce which have, you know, ascended to, is it a quarter, 1 in 4?
1 in 4 and 1 in 3 in some cases now. It's getting down to 1 in 3 more. But again, I think the reason again is the lack of knowledge. I remember when I got married, and I think about 6 months later, when my father came, when I finally moved out, my father came to my house and there was a book on the table. And he looked at it and he went, beta? I said, yeah, what's this? I said, what do you mean? And it was the laws of divorce in Islam. And he was worried that something was probably wrong. I said, no, but you don't worry. I said, it's something that I need to learn.
Yeah.
Right? And in fact, I'm learning it too late. I should have learned it before. That every person needs to know, because nowadays people, unfortunately, the other thing, Shabazz Bayan, and again, we can talk about this all day long, is that some people have divorced their wives and don't even know they've divorced their wives.
Don't know.
Yeah. And they're living their lives of sin. And so again, you know, I remember going to one place, where there was a problem between a husband and wife, and their friend was quite close to me and said, look, can you go and have a word and, you know, if you take your Garwali with you, she can talk to my sister. And yeah. So we went there, and they were upstairs, and I was downstairs, and I was talking to the brother, and he started talking about divorce and this and that. And he said, you know, Alhamdulillah, brother, she's really done my head in time to her. I've never divorced her three times. So I questioned him. I said, what do you mean you've never divorced her three times? He said, oh, I've divorced her once about six or seven times. Yeah. I've divorced her twice, two or three times, but I've never divorced her three times.
Allah.
And I thought, you know what? I said to him, brother, please go and speak to a scholar, a proper scholar, a mufti, and he will tell you. And I quickly called my wife. I said, let's go. There's no more to do here. I can't reconcile this because as far as the divorce has happened. So again, people don't realize this, Shabazz Bhai. And you know, this is worrying. So, so many people have said to me that we need to do a course. You know, you need to pass, you know, in the same way that before you drive a car, you need to have a driving license. You need to have a marriage license. You need to have a parent's license in life. But, you know, we drive a car and we make sure we have all these lessons before we do it. But when it comes to marriage, it's a sunnah. We just get married. And so many things are going wrong.
Khaliba, sometimes you can say it's quite difficult because, you know, for an average person, and marriage is something which everybody goes through, isn't it? But unfortunately, again, it comes back to ignorance. I think that's the main problem for most of the things.
But the problem is, Shabazz, right? Look, if you go back, you're mashallah, a scholar, mashallah, and you've studied the deen. If you go back 100 years, 200 years, what you have achieved in the last, you know, when you were at Jamia for 6-7 years, that would have taken you a lot longer.
Yeah.
Because people used to travel hundreds of miles to learn one hadith from a scholar. They used to travel and do all these sort of, and books were scarce. I remember even when I was little in this country, Medina, that to get a book on Salah in this country when I was a kid, I remember my father went all the way to Preston, I think, and he came back with a namaz book for me to learn from. There just wasn't information. Now, we've got information overload. There's so much information there, and yet we're still in ignorance. So right. Isn't that sad that information is readily available? That when we were younger, the imams couldn't speak our language, the books weren't there, the internet wasn't there, nothing was there. And now everything's available, and yet we make excuses.
SubhanAllah. It's true, Khalid Bhai. SubhanAllah, we don't rise and shine, Khalid Bhai. And for this program, we try to get a bit personal.
No, but we need to rise and shine. We all need to rise and shine and realize that, you know, wake up. That these are your responsibilities.
Khalid Bhai, they need to wake up and understand what is an average wedding. So I am going to go to you, Khalid Bhai. So firstly, you were in Mahol before you got married. By Mahol meaning you were part of Dawat Islami.
I was, when I got married, my in-laws effectively introduced me to Dawat Islami.
Oh, your in-laws introduced you?
They were the ones that actually got me. They were in the Mahol, and I got married a long time ago. I took 28 years ago.
Allah.
20, and they were in the Mahol of Dawat Islami. And I remember that my brother-in-law, as a wedding present, he gave us Fazani Sunnat. That was the wedding gift that we had. And at the time, I'll be honest, I didn't value it. I didn't understand it. But Alhamdulillah, we did try our best. I mean, looking back, there were probably things that, you know, we have to admit that we did wrong. But, you know, that was maybe again out of ignorance. You know, and so I can understand why people are in ignorance, but, you know, if I've made a mistake, if I've jumped in a well, then that doesn't give an excuse for anybody else to jump in
right.
a well as well.
Yeah, so Khaliba, what you're trying to say is basically your wedding went generally in accordance to Islamism.
Yes, it did. It did. Now, I look back and I think, yeah, maybe that wasn't right. Maybe that wasn't right. But I think because, and specifically, I think it was my brother-in-law, my daughter, he was quite firm. And the other mama, and so they made sure that everything went.
So basically because of your in-laws. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, wished for you to marry somebody else.
This is what I'm saying. They say that, you know, marriage is half of your deen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can fully understand that. Because in my case, it's probably a lot more than half that because of my relatives, they brought me closer to the deen.
Right.
You know, they introduced me to Dawat Islami. And, you know, I look back and the way that they did the infradi koshish on me, the way they did the hikmat on me, not harsh, not strong and everything, because I was clean shaved and everything. They were very soft with me, kind with me, and they explained things very, very nicely to me. And to the extent that if they said, you know, come here, I would go with them. Come to this Ishma, I would go, whatever, because they did it in a nice way. And I think that's a message for all of our mubaligh, really, that if you want to do infradi koshish on people, then invite them in a nice way.
SubhanAllah.
Off the topic.
MashaAllah, and I've become the zimmedar of the entire United Kingdom. Right, so if you were to, you know, you come across somebody, you know, you know that this young man, he's going to get married. He's going to get married soon. What would be, or, you know, male or female, what would be your advice to them?
I think one, you need to read you know, the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to see how he lived his life. And in the case of the sisters, to read the seerahs of the mothers of the believers and realize how they lived their lives. And get the guidance of how, what your roles and responsibilities are. And it's not, you know, marriage life is not just do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. And, you know, it's not just a matter of the man is the boss and he lays down the rule. Right. There is give and take and understanding and love that needs to be developed. But it takes time, and we need to, as people, you know, and one of the reasons that we have these huge divorces is that people don't have patience. You know, they're not willing to, you know, you've got to be like me. If you're not like me, Shabazz, but then I'm not going to do the show with you. And you know, we're different. You're different, I'm different, and we're sitting here together, but we're not here for a couple of hours. But if you're going to live your life with someone, then you need to understand that people are different, and you need to have sabr. I've come across cases where people have divorced their wives before they've even left the wedding hall.
Yeah.
That, oh, you know, that the cake, you know, your mother-in-law hit the cake and it went on my dress and she's ruined my dress and she started insulting the mother and then the husband divorced the wife and this has happened.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, within days there's been divorces, within weeks there's been divorces, and yet, you know, I'm sure there's an ayat of the Quran, I can't remember, where you need to give time, and if you see something that is lacking in your spouse, then wait, you know, have sabr and look for the positives in your spouse. And I think what we do is we focus on negative things and not look at positive
SubhanAllah.
Things.
This is what we'd like to touch upon next, Khalifa. MashaAllah. JazakAllahu Khaira. But these are my brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine. MashaAllah. We've had much to learn in regards to weddings itself in this day and age. Now, as usual, we have a reminder of the day. Sometimes a story, sometimes from the Shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Let's see what we have today. Let's move to our next segment. The name of the next segment, you should all know by now, is a reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib
sallallahu
ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, today, Shabazz, we're going to try to learn about the blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but particularly how to take care of the hair. How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take care of his blessed hair? And what did he command his followers to do? So this is something that we learn from the blessed ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu an, he says that kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yukthiru dahna ra'si وتسريح لحيته ويكثر القناع حتى كأن ثوبه ثوب زيات. The Sina Anas radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam would often apply oil to the blessed head, to his blessed head, and he would comb the blessed beard, and he would often put a cloth over the blessed head, even to the extent that the cloth used to remain dampened with oil. It would become damp and moist with the oil that the Prophet ﷺ would apply. So we learn actually a few things from here. Firstly, applying the hair, oil to the hair itself is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So you leaving your hair dry and, you know, not taken care of. So these are things that are against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So applying oil, and then the bandana, which is under the Imam Sharif, the blessed turban, having an extra cloth there, which absorbs the oil that is that one applies to the hair. So this is something that also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would keep, and he would comb his blessed beard as well. This is also another thing to keep the beard well maintained and looked after. So our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would apply oil to the blessed head and the blessed beard, and he would comb his blessed hair, and he would use to make a center parting of the blessed hair. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has hair, he should honor them. And what does he mean by honoring them? It means that he should wash them, he should oil them, and he should comb them and maintain them, keep them well maintained. So these are the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we learn. So today, as our reminder, let's learn the method of applying oil from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do we apply the oil in accordance to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the light of the teachings of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So it is stated in Kanzul Ummal that whenever our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would apply oil, he would first pour the oil onto his left palm, then oil both of his eyebrows, then further his blessed eyes, and by the blessed eyes, it means the eyelashes. And then he would do the entire head, his blessed head. So if we go into a bit more detail, it means that before applying oil now, we're going to recite Bismillah, because it is against the sunnah to apply oil without having recited Bismillah. In fact, a narration states that somebody who starts to apply oil without having recited Bismillah, 70 Satans, 70 devils join in with him. So we recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and we pour the oil, some oil onto the palm of the left hand, and then we use the right hand, and we first oil the eyebrows of the right eye, then the eyebrows of the left eye, then the eyelashes of the right eye, then the left eye, and then we oil the hair. And this is something that we learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that when anyone amongst you, he oils his hair, he should begin with the eyebrows as it relieves headache. So this is the head, oiling the head. But a great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is something that we also learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is with regards to oiling the blessed beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when it comes to oiling the beard, we find various narrations narrated in Tabarani that when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would oil the beard, he would begin with the anfaqah. And anfaqah is the hair growth that is between the lower lip and the chin. So for me, for example, my anfaqah is this area. So let's recap what we've learned today. We've learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would apply oil to his hair, and he would comb his hair, and he would use a bandana underneath his blessed imamah sharif in order to for that cloth that would absorb the oil from the blessed head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did he command us to do? That when somebody has hair, he should honor them. And by honor them, it means he should look after them, he should maintain them, he should wash them, oil them, and comb them. So how do we oil then? When we're oiling the head, we recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, pour some oil onto the left hand, left palm, and then we oil the eyebrows, then the eyelashes, then the rest of the head. And when it comes to the beard, we start with the anfaqah, this area. So alhamdulillah, these are sunnahs that we've learned. This is the method that the Prophet ﷺ would do. So let's all try to adopt this method next time when we oil our hair, inshallah azza wa jal. And keep in mind that the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? That when you oil hair, you should start with the eyelashes as it relieves headache. So let's try to act upon that.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Subhanallah, you know, sorting out, my dear Islamic brothers, and preparing your hair. Now, subhanAllah, everybody that gets married, no doubt, they would groom themselves, wouldn't they? And part of that is to possibly comb your hair, to wash your hair, and then oil your hair. Now, how many of us would have done that in accordance to the sunnah? You know, for those that are married. I'm just thinking myself, I don't know if I did.
I'm just thinking, Shabazz, but I'm just thinking that you're talking about according to the sunnah. Unfortunately, a lot of people, on the day that they get married, they...
shave the beards.
So, they go against the sunnah rather than follow the sunnah, which again is, and Amir Sunnah has talked about many times, where a lot of people think that they can't get married if you follow the sunnah. You got married, didn't you, with a beard?
Allah. Yeah, alhamdulillah, I did.
Alhamdulillah.
Man, it's been a few months.
But you did.
Yes, but alhamdulillah, yes, I did.
This is what I'm trying to say. A lot of people, there's a lot of myths going around. That a mulvi cannot get married, a person that follows the sunnah cannot get married.
Khalibah, you come up with some strange things.
But again, this is outside the bubble that a lot of people have this, that, yeah. You know, that if people follow the path of sunnah, people follow or have a beard, then, you know, how can they possibly get married? I know within, alhamdulillah, now, I feel that, again, because we're in this bubble, Shabazz, right, that within the mahal of Dawah Islami, people are now asking, is there a Madani that's available? Is there someone that's an Ali Madin that's available? Is there a Madani available? Is there someone that's in the mahal that's available? And that is that mindset that's changing, but I think that is a limited mindset. And I don't think we should generalize and think that everybody thinks like that.
That everybody thinks like that.
No, unfortunately.
It shows the need.
Great need.
For more Madanis, the need
more,
for
great need.
More ulama. And, you know, subhanAllah, we have, we were just speaking about it a little while ago. We have, mashallah, 9 Jami'at al-Madina right now, 6 full-time, 3 part-time Edison brothers. Those who have reached the age of 16, then please do enroll and join one of our Jami'at al-Madina, where you will be given free education, free food, free accommodation. You know, you're given everything. SubhanAllah,
think, literally, you know, Nigrani Shura, and we listen to this, said it many times, that every household should have at least one alim ad-deen. And you cannot understand the importance of that statement until you see an alim ad-deen in your house.
SubhanAllah.
And then you realize that that alim ad-deen can, you know, guide you. That alim ad-deen can, you know, give you, do your islah and let you know what you are doing and what you aren't doing and what you should and what you shouldn't
do. Are we in a position where we even have one alim ad-deen in every city?
No, we don't, unfortunately. And that is a sad state of affairs. But I think we don't give our scholars the respect that they are due. And I think you will understand this a little bit better than most of the people, that within the mahal of Dawastami in the UK, that within our mahal, that we try our best to give our scholars the respect that there is due. We try to remove the financial worries that they have. And we all, at the end of the day, we all need money. We all need money to survive. And what we try to do is we try to financially support them. We try to assist them. And in the same way that we try and make it easy for them, that on our jamias, there are free courses. In this particular jamia here in Bradford, it's residential and it's free. You stayed here. You studied here.
Yeah, I studied here.
Alhamdulillah. So again, you know, this, if you have that scholar in your household, even if you don't have it in your house, if you have it in your extended family, then coming back to the topic that we were talking about, that person will be able to guide you. And that person will be able to say to you, look, you know, look, Chacha, look, Taya, look, Mama, look, whatever, you know, what we're doing now, look, Dad, that what we're doing today, all well and good, but this is the way we should do it. Yeah. And again, one is having, there's two things, you know, one is having that knowledge. Alhamdulillah, you've got that knowledge. But it's second, having that courage to be able to speak up, right? And say that, look, this is wrong. And there's that hadith that if you see something wrong, stop it with your hand, stop it with your tongue, or at least stop it in your heart. But our scholars, our people that have that knowledge, at least should be able to speak. We should, you know, in today's society, if we cannot speak what is wrong, then wrong is going to happen.
Allahu Akbar. Now, Khalifa, we're speaking about weddings, and we touched upon the topic of the, between the two spouses, between the husband and the wife, you know, bringing about love between the husband and wife. And nowadays, how, you know, unfortunately, there isn't that respect, that mutual respect, as there should be.
I think everybody nowadays, we're in a fast society, yeah, fast food, fast cars, fast everything, and we want everything quick, yeah. I want my wife to understand me overnight, my wife wants me to understand her overnight, and you know, and that's it. But it takes time, and I think that's where we are lacking, that we don't have that patience with our spouses. We don't have our patience to try and understand them, because you know, you were brought up in house A for 20 years, she was brought up in house B for 20 years. They're not the same, right?
House A and house Z.
It's completely different, yeah. So they're completely different, and so you it'll take time. And initially, you will always have this time where you'll see things that you don't like in each other. But rather than focusing on them things, yeah, focus, have patience, and try and focus on them good things in each other. And then inshallah, because nowadays, like you said earlier on, the divorce rates are increasing. And a lot of it is because we don't have patience, we don't have understanding. Yes, okay, you might know what your role is. As a husband, you might know what your responsibilities is. But just because you know doesn't mean to say that she
doesn't
knows.
Doesn't mean that she knows.
And just because she knows doesn't mean to know that he knows. The sister might know her role and responsibility, but he doesn't know his role. So again, because again, they've had different upbringings. They've got, you know, it's to have that equal Islamic knowledge level on the two people is quite hard as well. So we need to have that understanding.
You would agree with me that nobody is perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
Even
I have my weaknesses. I have my problems. There's things that my wife puts up with me that, you know, maybe anybody else can put up with. What I'm saying is we have that understanding, and you have to have that understanding with your partner, because you're going to live your life with that person. And what is even more important is, you know, again, I'll be honest with you. When a husband and wife have differences and there's no children involved, then I can almost accept it. But as soon as a child is involved, I say to the husband that, you know, no matter what, you have to just put up with it, mate.
Yeah.
Because that child's life's on the line now. Yeah. It's not just you and her. It's not her and you. It's this child. And so for the sake of the child, you have to have more patience. You have to have more sympathy. You have to have more understanding. Because now you brought this child into the dunya. You need to, you know, be there for that child. You cannot on your whim just walk out the door.
Sometimes, Khalid Bab, wouldn't it be more exciting if there's more differences between the two?
No, again, differences are good. It's how you think about it. MashaAllah, you've got a positive thought on it. It's how you have a, if you have a positive thought on things. Some people say that, you know, that if people are from the same tribe, same kabila, same city, same background, then a better understanding. And sometimes it does work. But then other people from different tribes, different families, different countries, they work as well. Some people say that, oh, don't ever get married in the family because that can cause problems. And other people say, no, you need to get married in the problem because there's less problem. Again, it's how you look at it. And it's if you've got this positive outlook in life, that you take it positively, everything, then good. If you take everything negatively, you're going to have problems from day one.
SubhanAllah. Khalid Bab, we do have our next segment. And before that, we have a little promo. Inshallah, let's go to Azam Ali Samir, brothers and viewers of Madani Channel. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. It's Dawat-e Islami, it's a right to rectify the people, it's all over the world.
Dawat-e Islami is a global non-political movement of Quran and Sunnah. Sheikh-e-Tariqat, Amir-e-Sunnat, Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatum Aliya, started this mission in approximately 1981 with the collaboration of a few Islamic brothers in Bawra Madina, Karachi, Pakistan. With the passage of time, through the various Madani activities of Dawat Islami, the work has spread throughout the whole of the world to help in this noble cause, be it with your funds or be it with your time.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear seven brothers, Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, has approximately 106 departments. Madrasatul Madina is just only one of those departments. And mashallah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have thousands of students graduating who have completed the recitation of the Quran, and similarly, many, again in the thousands, who have memorized the Holy Quran. This is what you call work, alhamdulillah, of Islam. Ji, coming back to weddings, Khalid Bhai. Now, there's, you know, a husband and wife, you know, when they marry the Islamic way, you know, they get to know each other. And as you said, that you get two perspectives, isn't there? On the one hand, is there's many differences between themselves. On the other hand, there's a lot of agreement between the two. Now, one aspect that people look at, unfortunately, is, you know, like, if let's just say the wife's made a mistake, he said yes, remain patient. But what if he finds that he can't remain patient?
Again, you know, alhamdulillah, within one thing that we see within the Muslim communities is that we get other people involved. Yeah. If you cannot, you know, again, there's two things. One, remaining patient, okay, but one then doing the rectification, but doing it in a nice way.
Right. Yeah?
You know, there's many examples that I can say to you, oh, you know, why have you given me this chair? Yeah. Why have I not got that chair? You know, rather me saying that, you know, Shabazz, by that chair would have been more better for me. It's a bit more comfortable, I'm a bit bigger than you, and it would have been better if I had that chair. It's just different ways of talking to people. And again, we need to, again, this communication skills between couples as well. Then if it goes beyond that, where you try to communicate, then you can get family members involved, you can get other people involved, or you can do things indirectly. Yeah, there's been times where, you know, I've been told that, look, there's a problem here. You know, there's a problem, I'm going to use you as an example. There's a problem with Shabazz Bhai. This is the problem that he's having at home, blah, 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 blah. And what I'll do is I'll wait for an opportunity where there's about 8 or 10 brothers. And I'll start a general chit-chat. And I'll bring that in.
Right.
And rather than pointing a finger at Shabazz Bhai, I'm generally saying that, you know, alhamdulillah, you know what, we've got a problem within our brothers, that our brothers are like this, they're very harsh at home, they don't do this, they don't do this. And so that person's not personally hit, if you know
right,
what I mean.
Right, yeah.
And again, it's having that way, and again, this is all taught to us within the Mahal of Dawat Islami, that, you know, how to rectify people, how to do this. And so, again, you know, there's many ways of doing it, but ultimately, both partners have to have patience. We have to do it, and the biggest problem I feel that we're having today is we don't have that patience.
SubhanAllah, what Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentions Ihya al-Ulum, this is what came to mind when he said, yes, you know, involve a third person. Now, in the Quran itself, he mentions that take one from the male side, from the husband side, take somebody from the wife side. You see, mashallah, one brother, after I got married, well, on the same day of my marriage, yes, it was the nikah day. He said to me, look, Shabazz bhai, he says, and mashallah, you know, he respects me a lot. But he says, you know, I know you know so much more than me, but alhamdulillah, I have experience. And I would like to say one thing to you. And this was beautiful what he said. He says, it's, you know, something which you cannot help, but each and every single individual or partners, they experience some sort of clash, some sort of hardship. Everybody has a problem. But it's how you deal with that problem. Make sure you deal with that problem in the room when it happens. Don't let it leave the room. So this is the advice he gave me.
The disputes will always happen. And it's not as if I'm saying that, you know, it's going to be on the, you know, the cooling off period after the wedding, you're going to have disputes. You could have disputes all your life. Yeah. But it's how you deal with them.
Yeah, how you deal with them. SubhanAllah, I'm just thinking that the love, do you know, if you want to speak about love, obviously for everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an example, but one is love also, isn't it, Khalid bhai? How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had treated his wife, he said that, you know, if they were to share a bowl, now this is something we don't have. You know, how many people would actually share with their wives? They don't. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, she would take a sip. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would look for that same place from where she took the sip.
Allah,
and that's where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would drink from. You know, when the Prophet would send an entire army forward to race with his own beloved wife. The Madinah, I mean, brothers, if, you know, some people think there's no love in Islam, but Islam is what teaches love.
That little example that you gave of the bowl taking the water, just a little example like that, is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing respect and showing love. And how much effort did it take? And what would that do to the heart of Sayyidina Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha? But she would feel that he's giving me respect. She would feel that he's giving me love. And what did he do? He drank water. He was going to drink water anyway, but just by doing that, just turning it around to get to that same spot, he's showing respect and love. And that's little things can make a whole amount of difference.
SubhanAllah. And this is, Khalibah, it said, isn't it, that love doesn't just appear with,
no.
You know, it doesn't just appear like that, no. But rather it's the small actions, isn't it?
Of course.
The little actions which appear over a long period of time. This is what brings about love between
I think
the two
if any of our viewers here that have been married, you know, like I've been married a long time, if you look back, then if you look back at the, and there will be negatives, there will be problem times. If you look at that, then you will start to not like your partner.
Yeah.
But if you look at all the times that the things that they sacrificed for you, all the time that they were there for you, all the time that they there comforted you and everything, and just focus on them, you'll see a completely different partner. And again, it's focusing on the positives.
It's how you look at it. Do not, perfect example I had for this is, do not, when I went to Bab al-Madina, when I went to study there in Jamiat al-Madina, and one brother who went with me, three of us, mashallah, that went, one brother who went with me, says to me, says, Shabazz, you know, it's difficult here, look, their gaze, because everything's gated off, isn't it? He said, I feel like I'm in prison. So I said, look, you know, I won't mention his name, subhanAllah. But I said, look, you could look at it in two ways. On the one hand, you could think, oh yeah, we're gated and we're locked in and it makes us feel uncomfortable. On the other hand, you can think about it that, you know, there could be people who would want to come and attack us. In that case, we are safe, aren't we? So if you look at it from the like, wow, it's, you know, totally
it's again,
changed.
How you look at things in life.
It's how you look at
how
things.
You look at things. Shabazz, but I just want to come back. You know that original waqia that I mentioned at the beginning about that person that we got married? Before the nikah ceremony, he approached us and said that, question number one, how much are you going to charge? Yeah. And I think he was quite shocked when we said that the Islamis aren't going to charge for this. But secondly, what was more important was, I remember going to see one of the brother of the person that got married. And about 2 months later, and he said to me, you know, Khalid bhai, inshallah, when I get married, it's not going to be like that. You know, what you said that day hurt a lot of people, but they took it in, and inshallah, you'll see a change. So, you know, people are willing to change, but I think they don't want to be the first to change. Yeah. And, you know, I think people will change. But another aspect that I just want to quit, because again, time is against us, you know, on the day of the wedding, especially, There's the bride and there's the groom, but there's also, in some cases, hundreds and hundreds of guests. And them hundreds and hundreds of guests, one sin that a lot of them do, even if there isn't intermingling, which a lot of people think is the number one sin. I think the number one sin that happens at marriages is backbiting.
Backbiting.
And, you know, a lot of people are thinking, backbiting at weddings. There's a booklet, book by Emilia Sunnath, Backbiting, A Cancer of Society. And I think if everybody was to read that, and he gives examples of that. And you see it there where people say, you know, the women will say, oh, look at her dress. It's not very nice. Yeah. Why she chose that color. And on the other side, why has he chosen that color? Oh, there's only two starters. At my wedding, there were three starters. Oh, there's too much oil in the rice. Oh, there's only bones in
the
rice.
The guest will never be satisfied.
But the thing is, okay, you're not satisfied. You're right. It may be the meal isn't according to your
standards.
Tiga, but why you want to commit the sin of backbiting in front of people by telling people this? Tiga, you don't like the food. Tiga, if it's got too much oil in it. Okay, it's got too much mirch in it. It's got whatever it is that you don't like. Why are you committing the sin of backbiting?
You see, some people don't know this is backbiting.
This is what I'm trying to say. People don't realize it. In the same way that they don't realize the sins that they're committing at the wedding, they don't realize that you are committing the sin of the backbiting. And a wedding ceremonies are like a hub of backbiting.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be the car or, well, you know, the one who got that car, you know, he had a Rolls Royce and he had this and he had that. Only two starters. Why not three starters? Cheap oil, not enough lighting, not the chairs aren't very good, carpet. And on and on and on and on. And I think if you were to sit at a table and have a, you know, that's me counting back.
Subhanallah. You'll get to the thousands. Halba, you see, this is actually quite brilliant because no matter how luxurious or ostentatious you attempt to try to make your wedding, people never be satisfied.
But
so why
even if it's ostentation, you get the other side. Oh, he's just doing this to show off. Yeah. And that'll be backbiting. Yeah. He's showing off to everybody. Yeah. He's showing people that he's wealthy. He's showing. So you can't win. Right?
But I think if you go to simplicity, you probably can.
You can, but even then people will say, why, you know, conjuice, stingy person, why is he not? Basically, whatever the wedding is that you attend, okay, attend it, but, you know, you don't go there, you know, you're filling your stomach with food, but you're filling your stomach with sins as well at the same time. So just be careful that you don't fill it with sins as well. All right, fill it with nice food, or food that maybe you don't like, or food that maybe is too oily, or whatever it is. But don't fill it with sins.
Subhanallah. Marisa, my brothers and viewers of Madini Channel, time is coming to a close. MashaAllah, we have some feedback. One Islamic brother says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He says, my name is Muhammad Rafi Hattari. I am 11 years old. I live in Manchester.
MashaAllah.
I think that today's photo represents that people should think before they do something. As the head of the man's shadow was on the floor and the rest of the shadow was on the tree. In addition, a famous saying goes, think before you blink. MashaAllah, that's brilliant.
You know, that comes from the 11-year-old,
11,
that's amazing.
This is what I was just thinking. My dear brothers and viewers of the channel, you will see a picture, an image displayed upon the screen. We have one particular individual, you know, he's taken a wood axe and he has struck the tree. Now, Khalid bhai, a question for you. I don't know how clearly you can see this picture. But when you do take a look at this picture, you know, a man, he's striking this tree. He sees his the shadow
his head
is on the floor. Now, how many times did he strike the tree?
Yeah, it's going to be more than one strike to get that out, isn't it? That's the other thing.
Then with which strike did his head fall?
I mean, you sent me that picture yesterday, and I looked at it a few times, Shabazz, and I wasn't 100% sure how to interpret it. I mean, my interpretation of it was that, you know, that sometimes you are given blessings and you chop away the blessings and you don't realize what you're actually doing. You don't realize the result of your actions, that, you know, you are chopping away that tree, but at the same time, you're chopping away a part of yourself as well. And that could be taken as, you know, by chopping that tree, you're going to lose the benefits of the tree. There's so many ways you can look at it. I don't know. How did you? I mean, you were the one that sent the pic. What is your interpret? Nobody's asked you this yet. When I've noticed that the guests don't ask you, but I'm going to put you on the spot now and say, okay, what is your interpretation?
Subhanallah, what I've understood from this is that as he's chopping the tree, he's not chopped his head off. Reason being is possibly is looking towards the future. He says, shadow, isn't it, the second self? Possibly the shadow could denote upon his, signify his future, that when you're going to be chopping off these trees, trees produce oxygen, they take in carbon dioxide, they produce oxygen. So with the chopping off of trees, we will have oxygen. Without having oxygen, we will not be able to breathe.
I saw that from the tree, but I was thinking that if a person, when they do something, they don't realize the results of their actions, and sometimes you're doing something which you think will benefit you, but in the long term it won't benefit you. And sometimes, with, you know, there's a saying in English that short-term gain and long-term pain. Short-term, he's chopped the trees, benefited from chopping the trees, got the wood, he can burn it and keep warm, but long-term, he's lost the tree, and long-term, he's lost the benefits of the tree as well.
SubhanAllah. I think, you know, if there are anybody, inshallah, we could probably share this picture another time. But we've not got much of these. Some brothers who, mashallah, replied on social media. One has said that we focus on the destruction of ourselves rather than the destruction of others, whether that's a human or any creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes the destruction isn't even a destruction and made up in our own minds. SubhanAllah, every time you hurt others, you end up hurting yourself. Good one. How flawed and inaccurate our logic can sometimes be. I don't really understand that.
Her logic is that you're trying to do something, but the result is something else. Well, that's my understanding. Maybe
SubhanAllah.
I'm
SubhanAllah. Another reply we just received. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. He says, I think that the man looks confused and may have thought he's pursuing the right choices, but only realized that it was wrong course or because he was following and trying to figure out what really happened. SubhanAllah. It is a brilliant one we've had today. Quite a difficult one. You know, I did get many...
I thought it was a bit difficult, yeah. In comparison to the other ones, yes, it was quite unique.
I think it requires, you know, an imagination, which is...
But I think that's what's good with these, that it opens up your mind just to think, really, and give an interpretation. I enjoy it, mashallah.
Mashallah, I've received a lot of good feedback, especially about the pictures. A lot of, you know, saying, it's brilliant, but sometimes give us the answers too. Now, Khalid bhai, we have about 5 minutes left. What would you like to leave with the viewers of Madinah?
One thing I'd just like to say about the picture, that if anybody has interesting pictures like that, then again, send them to you, and maybe you can utilize them
and
on the program as well.
Use them.
I think really with regards to the topic that we discussed today, I think really in the same way that in every other chapter of our life, whatever we do, we try and educate ourselves. You know, even if you want to, at the weekend I was putting up a light switch and a light and everything, and I read the instructions and I looked on Google how to do it and I educated myself. And that's just putting a light on a landing in the house. And surely this chapter of your life is a very important chapter of your life. It's a life-changing event. And it's an event that really should only happen once. We should only really get, you know, we shouldn't be going into a marriage with this mindset that, you know, divorces are going to happen. But unfortunately it does happen. And, you know, we've talked about those couples that need to have patience, but at the end of the day, there does come a time where they're just not compatible, and we need to understand that as well. That okay, that I have an understanding with my wife, and that inshallah will never happen. But we need to understand that there are people out there that are not compatible with each other, and a time comes with it. But I think if you feel that both are not compatible and that you have to go down the route of divorce, then my advice is at least give it your best shot. You know, say to you that at the end of it, that you can, you know, put your hand on your heart and say, I tried my best, yeah, and I've given it everything I could, and at the end of the day, we're not compatible. Or rather than just on a whim, just on a fancy, just on something you wake up in the morning, just on because the tea's cold or the roti's not round or something so insignificant that you look back on it and you think, how stupid I was, that because my wedding broke up because of that. If you can look back and say to yourself that, you know, my wedding broke up because of X, Y, Z, and I tried my best, I tried and I tried and I tried, then obviously Islam gives us that opportunity, and that opportunity is there. But at the same time, that should not be, you know, wake up in the morning and shoot a bullet and that's the end of it.
And even then, you know, Khalibah, because we've gone on to this topic, yes, sometimes they are not compatible. We must understand that there's a sunnah way of leaving somebody.
Yes.
It's not just, you know, three times give the word no. Even if, you know, God forbid, really, for each and every single one of us, if it does ever come a time, then remember that a person's mind, state of mind, it changes. You know, it may be that, you know, later down the line, you think, oh no, I've made a bad decision. So when you do, just give one.
But that's a beautiful example.
And then leave it.
I get messages sometimes of people, yeah. And when I read the message, you know, I get angry, yeah, at the message. But then on purpose now, any message like that, I leave. I will not respond to it until the next morning. Because the next morning when I look at that message, I think, oh yeah, probably meant that. Okay, Tiga. Allah. You know, and again, I think we need to, you know,
I think people don't know that they can't separate with just one divorce.
They can't separate, but you know, even worse than Shabazz, I've seen instances where they're not divorced, but they are divorced in the sense that what will happen is they won't divorce the wife, so they won't give them the freedom, right? But they'll just leave them there.
They'll just separate.
So again, that is wrong as well. You know, that why are you going to do that? And I've seen that happening with you know, sisters where they've been living a separated life. They can't marry. They can't move on. And that life is continuing for 8 years, 10 years, 15 years.
Such a person should speak to a mufti.
That's what I'm saying. Again, we need to get this Islamic guidance and speak to them. But, you know, basically, we need to have patience. We need to have understanding. And we need to, each step in our lives, whatever we do, and we're talking about marriage today, but there's loads of events that happen in our life. If we can, you know, in the same way that we will go away and ask somebody, you know, when people go on Hajj and go on Umrah, they'll come to you, Shabazz, and say, you know, I'm going on Umrah, what do I need to know? Yeah. What do I need to take with me?
Sometimes,
yeah. They'll ask you these questions, right? They'll try and find out this. How many people have come to you, Shabazz, and said, okay, brother, I'm getting married, what do I need to know? Okay, Shabazz, inshallah, I'm hoping that, you know, that we're going to have good news in the household soon and we're going to have a child, you know, what do I need to know? How many people, you tell me, be honest with yourself.
That have come to me?
Yes.
SubhanAllah, recently I've received a call, I think it was last week, but it's like once in a blue moon, to be honest. It's
again, I'm glad that you've even had one. That's pretty good that you've had one.
I've actually had, and I think in the last 2 weeks, I've had two.
MashaAllah.
But still,
let's hope that this trend continues. Yeah. But again, we need to, you know, educate ourselves about these things, about these important chapters in our life that are happening, that we're getting married, we're having kids. You know, I know people that have phoned us up and said that, you know, please help me, you know, I'm confused, my child's, you know, 18, 19, 20, what do I do? And you're thinking it's too late. But then I remember a sister phoning up my bachum came in, she said, you know, please help me, I'm confused, I'm worried. You know, my child, I'm really worried. How old's your child? 2 months.
Allah.
So it's that extreme, really, and we need to understand that.
SubhanAllah, JazakAllahu Khaira, Khalid Bhai, for joining us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a long and healthy life upon the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, today we spoke about weddings. I think what we leave with, my dear Islamic brothers, is dua. Yes, all of you out there who are watching, pray, really. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes your relationship a healthy one, a successful one. This is what we pray for all the viewers of Madinah Channel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds love in the hearts for both husbands and wives. In order, please remember this, that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who shall either make your marriage successful or unsuccessful. Do dua, a dua'u mukhul ibadah. It is the essence of worship. It is a weapon for a believer, my dear seven brothers. And when you have been given love for your spouse, then even their defect would be a beauty in your eyes. Please remember this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all success in our marriages. Fana, my dear Islamic brothers, that's all. But remember, rise and shine by reciting the durood upon the greatest of mankind. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.